So I'm talking to Katie and I'm kind of hungry, you know, and so I grabbed one of her chicken strips, just grabbed it off her plate. I started eating it. And she looked at me, she calls me Papa. She says, Papa, that's my chicken strip. And I'm thinking, I'm paying for this. I can eat all your chicken strips in front of you and there's nothing you can do. I don't need any of your chicken strips. I just want you to learn to share.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled Financing Your Future, where we learned some important questions to ask when it comes to financial decisions. Is it right or wrong? Is it wise or unwise? Is it strategic? Is it timely? Answering correctly can mean the difference between a wonderful future or a world of hurt. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Financing Your Future.
Let's read the scripture and you'll see in Luke 16:11. Go. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? What's that? The true riches of influence, of influencing your family, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, maybe this church influencing the state of Hawaii. The true riches that have an eternity stamp to it, not temporality, eternity. Can I entrust you with this? Because this will affect people's forevers. Well, how will you know that we're ready? By the way that we steward finances. Really? Yeah, because it has roots to every other area of our life. God wants us to be a people who understand this because it's a part of our growth. And when we understand this, then He moves us into something called, and here's the third thing we want to talk about, not only our goals and our growth, but now we talk about, would you write down our generosity? Our generosity. By the way, I just want you to know that New Hope arguably is one of the most generous churches in the state of Hawaii. I mean, I remember when we had Katrina hit New Orleans in that area, we took up a second offering, $110,000 came in to help them. And then when Japan had that tsunami, another nearly $110,000 came in just with the second offering. And then we had a transition need because of the collapse of the building. One second offering, $77,000 came in, and another 50 or so thousand came in from just singular checks rolling in. And I thought, this has got to be one of the most generous churches around. So I want to say thank you for that. But there's a reason, because there's so many benefits to being people who are generous. Now, why are we generous? You know why? You know why? Because we have a generous God. We have a generous God. Think of how generous God is. The very air that you breathe for free is because you have a generous God. The blood coursing through your veins, the heart that's beating in your chest, you are still alive because we have a generous God. The beautiful island, the sunsets, the breezes, everything that we have around us is because we have a generous God. It's not because we deserve it. It's because we have a generous God. Let's read the scripture that is attached there, John 1:16 in the Message. Go. We all live off His generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. Now watch this. Our God is a generous God. And if God is a generous God, and He's created us in His image, He wants us to be a what kind of people? Generous. Every time you are generous, you become more like God. See, one of the things we have to understand is He doesn't need what we have to give. In fact, let's read the next scripture right after that, 1 Chronicles 29. Would you read it? Go. Everything we have has come from You, and we give You only what You first. Yeah, so when He says give, it's because of likeness. He wants us to be more like Him. Every time we give, we become a little more like Him. The Bible says in the book of Luke, He says, in Matthew 6:21, He says, where your treasure is, there will your... So if I give, I become a little bit more like. I become a little more attached to. Each time I give to my wife or to my children or to my grandchildren, there's a bond that increases. And the Bible says as you give your treasure to God, you become closer to God. God wants us to be a generous people because it puts him into his likeness. Listen, every time you give and you're generous in your time, every time you give compassion, give away service, give away generously in a fund or a gift or finances, every time you give a compliment, an encouragement, something good takes place. You become more like God, because doesn't he do that? He does that every day. In fact, would you take a look at this? Each time you are generous, you become more like the one who created you. Remember, if God is a generous God and he's created us in his image, he wants us to become a generous people. A generous people. Now, does he need what we give? Nope. Nope. But as we do, we change into the people he created us to be. It's a partnership. But if we say no, we're created in his image, but we don't live in his image. That's the dichotomy. We all want to be a generous people. I want you to be a generous people. If you have kids, you want them to be generous. Isn't that right? By the way, if you do have children, you need to, when you give, you need to let them see you give. You need to be an example to your children. Why? Because they won't learn it any other way. They're not going to learn generosity in college. They're not going to learn it from their buddies. And if they don't learn it from you, where are they going to learn it from? If they don't learn it from parents, they will become consumeristic and materialistic, because we live in a society that demands that of us, because they want to sell you stuff that you don't want to buy so that you can fill up portable storage units. It's a rat race. So if you've got children, you need to let them see you generous. As you know, we have 6 grandchildren, and Anna and I like to take our grandkids and Amy and her family to treat them to this place called Izzy's. Izzy's is because 2 things. Number one, they have food that, I've got a grandson, 5 years old, just turned 5, that has severe allergies. So they have certain foods that he can eat, and so they like Izzy's. And the second is they have chicken tenders, chicken strips, that Katie really loves. So we're sitting there, Katie's here, Zach's there, and Amy, my daughter, says, let me go get Katie's food, and if you could watch them, then I'll go get Zachy's food. So I said, okay. So we're dialoguing, discussing things, and she brings Katie her favorite. It's a plate full of chicken strips. And so she says, I'm gonna go get Zachy's. So I'm talking to Katie, and I'm kind of hungry, you know, and so I grabbed one of her chicken strips, just grabbed it off her plate, and started eating it. And she looked at me, she calls me Papa. She says, Papa, that's my chicken strip. And I'm eating this thing, and I'm thinking, I'm paying for this. You little kid. And 3 profound discoveries come to my mind. I'm thinking, number one, I am the source of all your chicken strips. Not you. Number 2, I can eat all your chicken strips in front of you, and there's nothing you can do. I could buy you a boatload of chicken strips. And number 3, I don't need any of your stinking chicken strips. I can buy my own and eat it until I turn from a chicken into a pig. I don't need any of your chicken strips. I just want you to learn to share. And I thought, I bet God says the same thing to us. When he gives me something and he says, wouldn't you give it, be generous? No, it's mine. It's like God turns to me and says, don't you remember, I am the source of your chicken strips. And I can take away all your chicken strips and eat it in front of you. And there's nothing you can do. I can buy you a boatload of chicken strips. And finally, I don't need your chicken strips. I can make my own chickens. You just kill them. I create them. I don't need your chicken strips. I just want you to learn to be generous. Because we serve a generous God. You understand? And when we learn to be a generous people, generous in our compliments, and not stingy, effusive in our encouragement, in our giving, in our serving, in our time. When God sees that we are a generous, oh, I want you to be a generous people. But when God sees that we're a generous people, He has created and designed the universe in such a way that certain laws have been developed in the universe that benefits people of generosity. He has designed universal laws to benefit people of generosity. Let me give you three of them. Here it is. Number one, the first is, it's the law of increase. The law of increase. Farmers know this one very well. The law of increase. Let's read what the scripture says in Luke 6, and then we'll explain it. Go. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Go to the farm, and you'll see that when a farmer sows a seed, he doesn't get one seed back if he sows one seed. He gets a bunch back. If he sows 50 seeds, he doesn't just get 50 back. He doesn't take one corn kernel, puts it in the ground, and then a sprout comes up later, and the thing comes up at the top and says, oh, here's one kernel back. You planted one kernel, here's a kernel. No. He plants one corn seed or one corn kernel, and a stalk comes out with ears of corn that equals thousands of kernels in return. You plant one, and the law of increase says you will receive an exponential amount back. So that's the law of increase. Farmers know that. I want God to increase you this year. I want God to increase you. But the other law is a law of planning. Would you write that down? A law of planning. What does that mean? It means that God has forethought or thought about in advance the world. It wasn't an afterthought. It was a forethought. He planned it out. The Bible says He planned salvation from the beginning of the world. God doesn't do things at random. He thinks it through. He plans it. A farmer doesn't just throw seed helter-skelter at random, spontaneously, wherever. No, he prepares the ground. He knows what he wants to have. Is it oranges or is it rye? Is it soybeans? Is it barley? What is it? He plans it out. He has a goal. And then he knows what seeds go in and what seeds don't go in. He doesn't throw any kind of seed in there. And then he weeds or prunes. That's the growth part of it. He knows he has to discipline, have maturity. So he has goals. He has the growth part of that. And then he understands the law of increase. And then the law of planning says we plan it out. We give forethought to it. Otherwise, you'll throw seed among the weeds and get nothing in return. So the same is true with us. In fact, let's read the scripture and it'll start to unpack it for you. Go. You must make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Stop there. In other words, he's saying be intentional. You think it through. What is right? What is wise? What is strategic? What is God's plan? What is timely? Let's continue. Go. Don't just give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with. Yeah, he's saying don't just give emotionally. It needs to be not a once in a while kind of giving spurt. It cannot be where, whoo, ooh, I get a quiver in my liver. Ooh, I need to give to this person here. And then it's like nothing. No, it has to be a thought out, a forethought, an intelligent, intentional, deliberate understanding. And then I stick with it. You understand? By the way, I actually give online here, and we encourage people to do that. There's a giving kiosk in the back. I do a recurring giving. So I know that I want to give the first of every month a tithe. So I actually have them take it out of my credit card, and it's done intentionally so I don't get caught up in emotional giving or under pressure or forgetting about it. I know it's something I want to discipline myself to do, so I do that. Plus, I get miles. the Japanese part of me is smart there. So it's intentional, it's a forethought. Otherwise, you won't follow through with it. Let me tell you a story, and this happened just a few years ago. One of the books, Leading on Empty, just sold like crazy, and God used it in a great way. And I said to the Lord, whatever royalties I get on this, I want to give it to you. You know, I just give you the whole thing. And I thought maybe $5,000, $10,000. I thought, wow, that's going to be pretty nice, you know. And I get a check, and it's not $5,000 or $10,000. It's six figures. And I get this check, and I think, oh, I was just joking. I thought, oh my goodness. I thought, God, can I just give you like a tithe of this check? And the Lord said, no, make a choice. I thought, no, I got it. So I actually set up a special account with our bank and put that in. And for the next year, I was able to write checks in that amount to different ministries here and to the college and New Hope International to plant churches. And people just needed help. Another person here needed some help. And I would just give. And I was able to be generous. And it was one of the best years ever. I just loved it. And I thought, wow, I wonder what God's going to do. Because there's always a law of increase, see, and a law of planning. I want to talk to you, and I'll tell you what happened in the law of the harvest. Would you write that down? The last law is the law of the harvest. As I said, farmers know this best. One man said, I shovel it out, and God shovels it in, and he always uses a bigger shovel than I use. It's the law of the harvest. You know, sometimes we can believe God for redemption, for salvation, to keep us out of hell, but we can't believe him for provision. And that's why when he touches that area, it has all kinds of ramifications. He can tell us all about our marriage, our perception, our judgment, our decision making, all kinds of stuff. And that's why God says, I'm a generous God. I want you to learn to be generous in your compliments, in your encouragement, in your serving, in your time. Well, as I gave this and I thought, well, what's God going to do? Well, I had bought a condo over here as an investment. It was only on paper, and then they built it. And so we moved into it, and I'm looking to sell it. And I thought, ooh, this is in the middle of the recession. I can't sell it. So we had to just stop. I didn't think it was timely. I thought, oh, God, I'm running out of money. I need to do something here. And just then, now I'm not saying that God did this, but the tsunami hit in Japan. And I was praying, and I thought, you know, I bet there's people that want to get out of Japan like right now. They'd like to have a house in Hawaii just in case something like that happened again. So I just, on a lark, put it up for sale and put this huge high price on it. Within 2 weeks, a man from Japan gave cash for that thing. And it was 10 times what that royalty check was that I made as a profit. And I looked at that and I think, you use a lot bigger shovel than I do, don't you, God? You always have a plan. It's a law of the harvest. And God is like that. Here's what God does. If you could just take a look at this on the screen. God will provide for you seed for eating, seed for bread. But you also have to have seed for what? Planting or sowing. Because if you don't have seed for sowing, what's going to happen next year? You have how much? Nothing. It will affect your future. What you do with this bag of seed. Now, he's going to give you plenty to be alive, to function correctly. Now, the decisions you make can affect that because you can overbuy, overpurchase, make mistakes because your goals aren't right. So make sure you get those four questions asked. That's going to be really important. And God will provide, but he says, you take the first fruits of that, and this is a bag for planting because it'll affect your future. You're financing your future right here. Well, what if I eat all this seed for eating and then I'm still hungry? And so I just start eating the bag of seed over here for planting. I just kind of eat this thing up. Yeah. What will happen to my tomorrow? We're in trouble. We're on the edge of impoverishment, famine. And a lot of us are eating that and wondering why we're always behind the eight ball, can never get ahead. Because I have to borrow for seed, and then I eat that, and I borrow for more seed, and I eat it. Pretty soon we're in trouble. And what about the things we bought? All wrong stuff. So the law of the harvest tells us to make sure that you understand the seed for eating and the seed for planting. And let's read this final scripture. Go. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The Bible is filled with opposites, as I close. Filled with opposites. If you want to receive you want to live you. If you want to be exalted you, humble yourself. So let me close with this. Whatever you need more of, give away. If you need more love, give love. How often I meet someone in the counseling office and they say, oh, nobody loves me. I find out that they've never given love away. You can't say to the fire, give me heat first, and then I'll give you wood. No, you have to what first? Then you. That's why the Bible says it's more blessed to than to. Yeah, because when you give, you receive. You can't go to the bank and say, give me interest, and then I'll give you some money. They'll go, ho, 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 ho. No. If you need affirmation, give away affirmation. You need encouragement, give away encouragement. You need blessing, give away blessing. You need a hug, give away hugs. And you need energy, give away energy in serving. Say, what? Yeah, if you need energy, give it away. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Yeah, that's what you call exercise. Isn't that right? If I need more energy, what do? Sit there and just hold on to myself so no energy leaks? No, I got to give it away. I've got a dispense of energy and I get more in return. That's just the law of the harvest. And as generous people, you'll begin to understand the law of increase, the law of planting, and the law of the harvest. And this time next year, I want God to look at us and say, you're a generous people, and you look a lot like me. That's the kind of people we want to be. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we conclude. Let's pause and let's just pray. Lord, thank you for a fabulous church called New Hope. Thank you for teaching us how to be more like you, how the way that we treat our finances really does affect our future. And so, Lord, we ask that you would make us wise. Help us to know right from wrong, wise from unwise, that which is purposeful and that which is not, and that which is timely and that which is not, so that we'll be people making wise decisions. Because, Lord, you have developed or designed universal principles that will benefit people of generosity. Law of the harvest, law of planning, the law of increase. So God, I pray that you'll help us to be people who are more and more like you. Thank you for providing, but help us to be wise enough to provide for the future. You call it the tithe. We call it seed for planting. But it is you that want us to be generous people. You don't need what we have. You just want us to be more like you so that you can provide for our futures. We're good with that. We're beginning to understand the law of the Lord, which is so good. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Financing Your Future by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.